You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to the Goodbye John Breyer special here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. A very emotional night for the BTS team as we say goodbye to the Yorkshire man. John, welcome to your own podcast. I bet you never thought you'd have one of these when we started this off.
Never did, mate. It's obviously going to be the highest rating one, I would say. No hassle, but it's sad for me, but I'll still be chipping in with the prediction league and the likes, Kieran. And we have your leaving due on Saturday to look forward to as well.
I'm sure a few people might be throwing their own goodbye party, but they'll be glad to see the back of me. But no, look, we have a cracking show lined up tonight to mark the occasion. Obviously, 2 years since we started off this podcast here in Longford. It's the last episode tonight that will be recorded in lovely Longford before my move to Dundalk. And as a result, we've got four massive guests on the show for you tonight. We're going to speak to a Dundalk man. Gary Rogers looks set to break a record now. If he plays these two games against Riga, he'll be the highest capped League of Ireland player ever in terms of European appearances. So great to get Gary on the show tonight. We couldn't have our last show from Longford and not get someone from Longford Town on. We have Neil Fenn on, and we'll have a lot to speak about with Neil. Jamie Hollywood obviously announcing his departure from the club last night. Transfer window about to open. Longford suffered that defeat to Bray just before the break. And as you said, they play Cove on Saturday. So plenty to talk about with Neil. Speaking of Cove, Stephen Henderson, he's obviously departed in recent days and appointed as the head of youth development now at Shell. So looking forward to speaking to Hendo as always.
Yeah, he had a quick holiday in the sun and then just working on the tan and then straight back into work. So he'd be delighted to get that position there at Shell.
Yeah, a bit like Fenn. I don't think he needed to top up the tan too much, but he's gone ahead and done that anyway, and we'll speak to him now tonight. And finally, we're going to get a supporter's point of view. Julian Canny, our good friend from Galway, he's going to join us to speak about all the talks around in this All-Ireland League at the moment. And John, that's where we might start. What's your thoughts on the All-Ireland League, potentially?
Well, I think there's something there, obviously. I mean, we're talking about the lack of funding in League of Ireland all the time. And if somebody's dangling a carrot saying there's all this sponsorship, possible sponsorship, TV revenue, you know, it looks good in theory.
So Kieran Lucid is the man behind these proposals. Rich man from Kerry. I wonder, maybe the Healy's Rays might throw him a few bob as well.
I'm sure they will if he stops and gets his petrol in the right place. look, I mean, I think there's a little bit of blinkers going on with the fact that I've seen a few comments about, oh, we'll get extra European place.
Not a hope.
That won't happen. No. You know, it'd probably be one Champions League place and either two or three Europa League places. And that'll be it. But I do like the idea of a top division and then a couple of regionalised.
Yeah. You're starting to build a bit of a pyramid then.
You are, yeah. And we already know there's a pyramid in place up the north, so that could be added to down here. And, you know, hopefully we have something and a product that's worth, you know, a bit of money to television companies and sponsors. But we're miles away at the moment. So.
Yeah, early days, yeah, but already there's talk of a figure of 10 million in terms of revenue for the league. Now, that might seem crazy at the moment in terms of League of Ireland, but when you look to some of the Scandinavian leagues, again, they wouldn't be huge in stature. They're able to bring in 50 million a year in TV money. Looking over to Scotland, they bring in well over 10 million TV money. Now, obviously, the following for football is a lot bigger in Scotland. The same would go for the Scandinavian leagues. But as you said, there is a product here. It's just about how to market it, how to package it all together. We've seen this week the launch of the pilot scheme, the Airtricity League TV. So yep. We'll have to see how that goes. If that's a success, it looks like it might be rolled out across the entire league. So we're starting to get extra little revenue streams coming in there. Obviously, we need a big backer, someone to come in and really put it all together. And an All-Ireland League would certainly be the way to go about that.
That's the key, isn't it? It's whether or not you can get the sponsorship and the TV revenue in it. Otherwise, for me, it's a bit of a non-starter. But, you know, he sounds pretty confident about what he's saying. And he's got Brian Kerr on board, who's obviously a very, very good football man. So, you know, it could well happen, Kieran.
Yeah, so we're going to go to our first interview of the night now. We're going to be joined by Galway United fan Julian Canny. He's a regular attendee of the NIFL games in the north, and he has some views on the possibility of an All-Ireland Football League. So Julian Canny now joins us to discuss the All-Ireland League. As I said there in our intro to this interview, Julian's a regular attendee of games in the NIFL, so interesting to get his views on it as a Galway United fan. Julian, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Kieran. Yeah, and congrats on your news as well.
Thanks very much. I'll be sorry to leave Mr. Breyer here on his own, but look, that's life, unfortunately. And speaking of big changes, this talk of an All-Ireland League, it seems to have really come out of nowhere in the last couple of days, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's, I think it kind of took everyone by surprise, really, when it came out. But it's, I suppose it's always been something there, which, like, obviously from a League of Ireland perspective, in terms of developing it, getting other bigger clubs involved, it's always kind of been there in the background, this potential of getting, particularly like you look at Linfield, like would draw a big crowd themselves. So, yeah, it's always been something there. Like, I suppose the concern I'd have is, as you said, I'd go up to the odd NAFL game, and we've seen from the Satanta Cup, like, there is definitely a difference in standard, and how many of those clubs could actually be competitive. You'd probably only say maybe two or three when the league kind of, if it were to happen, and maybe like, the northern clubs might kind of be a bit reluctant from that point of view. But I don't know. Like, realistically, you kind of look at their league, like, they're going to be losing a European spot from next season, so they're kind of in a tough enough situation as well. So
yeah, because the talk is, if this league was to happen, and 10 million is the figure being floated about as the kind of initial revenue it would make, that even finishing bottom in this league would be equal to qualifying for Europe. So that's kind of the financial incentive that would have to be there if clubs were going to consider this. And just on the standard there you mentioned, I suppose there might, and I know it has been touted in some media reports, that there might have to be some sort of protection put on relegation for Northern leagues, because we don't want it, after a season or two, reverting to being a top League of Ireland division and then the Northern teams scrapping below it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think, I suppose in terms of the money, first of all, like, obviously it will take an awful lot. Like, you probably are talking in the region of 10 million a season to kind of make it worthwhile for clubs. There's obviously the question mark of what will happen at the Euro spot. So you'd imagine, like, I suppose Liechtenstein get a cup spot in Europe without having their own league. So you can make the argument that either Northern Ireland or the Republic get that spot. So that's up to five. Like, but I don't know. It is kind of, I don't know, a big thing. And then, like, if there are clubs you are losing out, like, a lot of the northern clubs would kind of rely on the big gates that Linfield would bring. So if they're losing out on that, if they're in the lower division, again, that's kind of a hit to their coffers. So there has to be some kind of incentive for them. In terms of the standard, like, it is kind of, definitely at the moment it's weaker, but I think for a club like Linfield, they'd be well able to make the jump. I know Crusaders, I think this season, went full-time, so they're kind of looking in that direction as well, and kind of looking to improve. And obviously Glentoran have huge potential, but it's probably kind of the clubs from kind of smaller towns, which, like Dungannon or maybe even Coleraine, would probably be the ones who'd really lose out. Because I suppose the point I'd make as well is you're talking about a province the size of Munster, really, and Munster only have four clubs in the whole of League of Ireland. So it's not really realistic that you just suddenly have like 10 clubs from Ulster, from Northern Ireland, competing. Like, obviously you've Derry City already and Finn Harps, so that's kind of the northwest. So you're looking at like these other towns, and I don't know, you know yourselves, like, for a town the size of Longford, it's kind of a struggle to have a League of Ireland team. So, like, we're talking about towns that size who are kind of regulars in the NAFL Premier, and then kind of saying, oh, well, they'll be regulars in this thing, which probably isn't realistic long term anyway.
And Julian, how many of the teams in the NAFL are actually full time there?
To be honest, I think it's only the two. I think it's only Linfield and Crusaders. Like, Cliftonville definitely aren't, and yeah, Ballymena and Glenavon would probably be the next biggest, and they're not either. So it's I think that's probably the biggest thing. But again, like, I suppose those top clubs, they probably realistically will kind of see it is kind of a way of progressing the league and making it more professional altogether. And like, again, like, will help their results in Europe as well. I suppose the change of the season as well, like, from next season, like, their champions are going to be in that Champions League qualifying tournament, which started yesterday. So, and they do lose the extra spot. So that's a huge thing for Northern Ireland, that, like, if they're really dropping down to, like, the worst four leagues in Europe, effectively, like, I mean, that's a big hit on them. And then they get tougher draws and it's harder to progress all the time. So I'd say they're pretty envious of what's going on, like the likes of Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers over the last 5 to 6 years, like the runs they've made, that, like, that's a million miles away at the moment from a Northern Irish club doing that.
And obviously you're a Galway United fan, Julian. It's been a very, very disappointing season, and like a lot of clubs in the First Division, I'm sure Galway are struggling to get people in the gate when things aren't going well, and there's always that maybe fear in a supporter's mind, how long can this continue? As a Galway fan, and maybe First Division clubs in general, are looking at this and thinking, well, we need something big to happen, something dramatic to happen, because we can't keep scraping around like this for the next decade, really, can we?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and like, I think like anything in the league, even if it isn't an All Ireland league, I think everyone acknowledges that if your first priority is facilities, or if it's like getting a full, like, players on the 52-week contracts or whatever it is, like, everything just requires money to be put into the league, which basically hasn't happened over, I don't know, ever, essentially, in League of Ireland. So it's yeah, like, Galway United, obviously where we are at the moment, it's not a great place, but, like, to us, I don't think it matters if we're in a First Division of an All-Ireland League or a First Division of the League of Ireland. It's like, if someone's putting money into the league, it has to be welcomed.
Julian, great views as always. Thanks very much for joining us, and hopefully we'll see an upturn from Galway as the season progresses.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on again, lads.
Cheers, Julian.
Thanks, Julian.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So great to get Julian Canny's views there on the possibility of an All-Ireland League, and I'm sure it's something we'll touch on plenty over the course of the season on the show. But obviously it is the Goodbye John Breyer special tonight, and I just thought maybe I'd bring you my top four John Breyer moments before we move on to the more serious stuff tonight. Sadly, I like to keep this laptop running quite smoothly, so I don't save the shows on it, so I don't have little sound bites. But I'm going to just jog the memories of our listeners and see do they remember these great moments. So I'm starting with number four and then working my way up to my number one moment.
Poor you couldn't get a top five.
So the kebab rants. Thinking there was a stage last season, you were very, very critical of the fitness of some First Division players, and you seemed to be mentioning kebabs a lot every week, so that was quite good.
Yeah, definitely there was a few lads early season that looked like they'd spent the close season in between Marbella and the local kebab shops.
Number two, your anti-Dundalk agenda has really shone through this season, John. Always criticising the Oriel Park pitch, and the minute a few results didn't go the way for Vinnie Perth and Co., you had the sniper rifle out, let's be honest here.
Kieran, somebody has to balance the books here at BTSHQ, because we all know you've got a huge Dundalk bias, so somebody has to do the opposite. And I was dead right with their stuttering start to the season, and I still don't. Still not 100% sure about the bounce on that pitch.
You weren't so brave when we had John Gill on a couple of weeks ago.
I told him I was quite within my rights.
Number two, your big bet win. Who could forget it?
Oh, that was just brilliant, wasn't it?
200-1.
Yeah. We had a bit of a celebration over that one, didn't we? Yeah. But what a win that was.
The trip to Wales should probably be in here, but I suppose that tied in. We got the funds for the trip to Wales with that big bet win, didn't we?
Yeah, well, that was a fantastic weekend. And having a few drinks with 200 Mexicans was something special. Yeah, that was a great weekend. Really enjoyed that, Kieran.
My number one John Breyer moment on Between the Stripes LOI podcast over the last 2 years. Project DNA at Galway been described as, quote, bollocksology.
Absolute bollocksology. And so it's proved, Kieran. Where are they in the table?
Get that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So that's been the top four John Breyer moments. But look, we're going to bring you another interview, and then we'll go into our First Division and Premier Division previews and the St. Mel's Brewery prediction game. Here's our interview with the Longford Town manager, Neil Fenn. So as we said at the start of the show, we couldn't do our final show from Longford and not get the boss on. It's Longford Town manager, Neil Fenn. Neil, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Kieran. Good to speak to you.
So, Neil, before the break, very disappointing end to what had been a good start to the season. Your team were 2-1 up with about 5 minutes to play in the Carlisle grounds against Bray, and your team was undone by two set pieces. I'd imagine it's been a long week off thinking back about that.
Yeah, it's not been nice. It was, you know, I thought we actually played quite well. It's just, you know, we haven't conceded a goal from a corner all season, so to concede two in 5 minutes was a bit sickener. But, you know, we have to just put it behind us now, move on and forget about it.
Yeah, as you said, your team has been very, very solid from set pieces this season. Defensively, plenty of clean sheets and the like. So do you just put that down to a once-off, or is there something there that maybe worries you a little bit?
No, I think the first one was, you know, we had a couple of players one player off the pitch and one struggling, barely able to walk. So put it down to that. And then obviously they had the momentum and they scored another one from, obviously, he's good from scoring from set pieces. So no, we just have to put it behind us. Hopefully it was just one of those things. We've conceded 3 goals for the first time this season. And overall, I was happy with how we played. I thought we were very good. So yeah, you can't be too disappointed about it. Just for a 5 minute spell in the game, we conceded 2 goals, but you can't be too down about it.
And overall, with 9 or 10 games left, you must be quite happy with the position you're in at the moment.
Yeah, you know, it's an old one. It's an old saying, but if you'd have told me I'd be second with 10 games to go, then I would have bit your hand off. So, you know, that's where we're at. We would like to be a little bit closer to Shells, obviously, but we're in a good position at the moment.
Yeah, and we were talking about transfer window earlier, myself and Kieran off air, and we were saying it must be very, very difficult to attract players just for, like, the remaining matches of the season. How do you go about it as a manager?
Well, yeah, you're right. The players you're going to get in are lads that are not playing or lads that are coming back from England or whatever. So we just try and get the right type of characters in and just hopefully if you freshen it up a little bit, the new boys coming in are trying to get in the team, so the training goes up a level. Whereas sometimes when by this stage of the season there's lads not playing are being a little bit sulking a little bit or moaning a little bit, and it drags training down sometimes. So it'd be good to bring in a few new players, new faces, just to freshen it up and kick us on for the last few games.
And Jamie Hollywood left this week. Was it just, I suppose he was a little bit of a fringe player there. He was getting the odd game here and there. So I suppose, you know, these lads obviously want to play first team football week in, week out.
Yeah. Jamie's a good lad, and you know he has. He started 2 out of the last 3 games, so it was a little bit disappointing that he decided to go. So, but we can't look back at that. We have to move on. We have to try and get more players in, more cover, because we've lost obviously Jamie and Sean Brennan. So, you know, there's 2 midfielders gone, and Paulie's going to be out for a while. So that's a position we're definitely looking to strengthen.
Yeah, certainly leaves you a light on bodies, Neil, in midfield. Is that a concern?
It's a little bit of a concern. You know, we obviously, you can't really legislate for injury, and players, just, you know, in this league, if an amateur says he wants to leave, then there's not a lot you can do about it, and that's a shame. So yeah, we'll it is a little bit of a concern, but you know, we've got cover, we've got good players in the squad still, so I'm sure that they'll step up, and I'm sure that if we need to bring someone in, we can.
Now, I'm sure, Neil, you're not the type of manager that reads maybe pundits' comments too much and the like, but if you were to look up maybe Longford Town's analysis of the first half of the season, a lot of people would say that it's the front area maybe your team has been lacking. Is that an area you might look to address now in the coming weeks?
I think apart from Drogheda, who are, you know, scored a ridiculous amount of goals, I think that everyone else around the league is on a similar number of goals scored. I can't think of anyone at the moment off the top of my head that are way above everyone else in goals scored apart from Drogheda. Everyone's in and around the same. Obviously, I'm sure the forwards would have liked to chip in with a few more goals, but you know they're doing all right for us. And like you say, we're second in the table for a reason. And you know, if we can add a few more goals, then hopefully we can move up a little bit.
Yeah, and your home form has been mightily impressive this season. And as we look into these final 10 games in the First Division now, you've got the likes of Shells, Bray and Drogheda all at the City Colonel Stadium. That must be a big advantage.
It's a big advantage, yeah, because, you know, we've beat them already, those 3 at home already, so we've got that confidence going into the game. You know, coming into the business end of the season now, we don't know what business they're going to do, we don't know what business we're going to do, what players are going to come in and out. they're three of those are good teams who don't concede goals that easily and are dangerous on the counter attack. So it's going to be difficult. But that's what happens when you're up there and you're trying to win stuff. You're trying to get promoted. Every game's going to be difficult. We find it difficult when teams come in and just sit there and don't just want to defend. So every game's going to be difficult.
Yeah, and one team, your team has certainly found it difficult against down the years is Cove, and you play Cove Ramblers at the City Colin Stadium this weekend. Another a tough game on the horizon, Neil, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be another tough game, but, you know, I think all games are hard, and that's how you want it. You don't want to be teams that are going to roll over every week. You want a good game every week, and certainly Cove are that. They're a good young team, hard working, with some very good young players, so it's going to be difficult, but again, like I said to the lads yesterday, if you know, these are the games that, well, every game we need to go and win, because I think we're going to need to get at least 8 wins out of the last 10 games if we want to get promoted.
Yeah, and as we said there, home form might play a big part in that. With that in mind, have you been slightly disappointed with the crowds at all this season? Because as you said, your team is playing some really attractive attacking football. Results are going well. You're only a couple of points off Shelburne at the top, a team that everyone thought was going to steamroll the division, in all honesty. So would you like to see a few more supporters coming through those gates?
Yeah, but obviously it'd be good if we got a few more down. I'm sure with the weather getting a little bit better, that I'm sure a few more people will come out, because you know yourselves, once they're behind us, it's a good atmosphere at the City Calling when there's a good few there. So yeah, be good if they were there and they come out and get behind us. But you know, we're just trying to do what we do and concentrate on us. And I'm sure if we keep winning or keep playing well, I'm sure the crowds will come out.
Neil, absolute pleasure as always. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll see you at the weekend.
Cheers, lads. Bye.
So that was the thoughts of Longford Town manager Neil Fenn, and we'll start our First Division previews now. Of course, it's the St Mel's Brewing prediction game. Every week, myself and John Breyer try to predict the outcomes of the games in the First Division and the Premier Division, and at the end of the season, the man with the most correct predictions wins the big juicy crate of St. Mel's beer. John leads me by 10-4, I think it is, John. So let's see, can I get some points on our final podcast show here in Longford? And we'll start with Longford Town against Cove. What's your thoughts on this one?
I'm real looking forward to this one, because obviously it's your leaving do. We'll be going out beforehand, bit of food and a few drinks afterwards. So,
a few drinks in between as well.
Yeah. So really looking forward to it, Kieran. The match itself, this could be a tricky one, because obviously Cove, no manager currently in
place.
They're
Longford bogey team, really, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think we tend to struggle when we go down there. It's very hard for Longford to go down there and win.
The pitch is a big factor in that.
Yeah. But at home, and the way the league's shaping up, you would think Longford should win this one.
So you're going for Longford win?
I am, Kieran.
Yeah, I look at this game, and for me, it has a very, very similar look to the recent Longford-Wexford game just before the break. Cove, just like Wexford, very well organised, bit of a stubborn team. They probably have a bit more about them going forward, Cove. Some of their players like Fernandez, Cabilla, we've touched on them before. Yeah. They'll add that little bit of extra threat. But then when you look at the likes of Wexford, they have Doherty, and obviously Furlong didn't play that night. Had he played, maybe it would have been a different story. But as you said, with Longford being at home, nice surface, conditions should be good. I think they'll just have enough to scrape it, but I think it could be a late goal again. I'm going for a 1-0 Longford win.
I'm starting to get a little bit worried about squad depth as well with Longford, because yeah, I think you're
that killed them towards the end of last season.
Exactly,
didn't it?
That's just what I was coming on to. So if you get an injury to Zambra or A. Dervin, I don't know who's going to replace them.
Yeah,
in midfield, and we're still missing a striker.
Obviously, the window opens on Monday, so we'll wait and see what happens there. I'm sure Longford will bring in replacements. It's just whether they're up to the quality to make a difference. And then, as you said, you can bring in a couple of players, you can still get hit with injuries, back to square one. So let's hope that doesn't happen. But I think we're both going for Longford wins there. Mm-hmm. Cabinteely against Wexford.
Cabinteely really stuttered towards the last few weeks, didn't they?
They'll be hoping that the break and just regroup them and get them going on the form we've seen early on in the season.
Yeah, and Wexford have been nearly met in so many matches. They've nearly eked out draws with Longford twice, haven't they?
Yeah, I was tweeting a couple of Wexford fans during the break, and I said to them, I can really see this Wexford team starting to pick up more points this side of the break. I think they've been very, very good in that first half of the season. At the moment, it looks like they're going to keep a hold of their main players. If that happens, I think they'll start to upset a few teams. Whether they can go to a place like Cabinteely, very difficult place to go. Whether they can go there and win, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't be surprised if they get something out of it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking it's all to me down to whether or not they can keep hold of those front two.
Yeah.
That's critical. But for this one, I think Cab will get back to winning ways.
Okay, so you're going for a Cabo win. I'm going to call that one a draw. I think Cabo, as you said, they were stuttering just before the break. Not so sure if they can get back to the sort of form they showed early on the season. Defences are more aware of the likes of Rob Manley now, so maybe he's going to start having the double marking that we see on players that have had a good start to the season. So interesting to see, but I'm going for a Wexford draw there. Drogheda against Bray, free score and Drogheda against Bray.
Well, there's bound to be plenty of goals in it, isn't there?
That's, nil all for over. Sure.
you watched Bray a couple of weeks ago. What did you make of them?
Average, as I thought they have been all season. Looked very shaky at the back. Didn't offer a lot going forward. Obviously, they scored three goals, but two of those were set pieces, and one was a complete defensive calamity from Longford. So, for me, Drogheda, they were scoring goals for fun before the break. They should have a couple of players coming back from injury now, post mid-season break as well. I'd fancy Drogheda not only to win this, but have a good, strong finish to the season.
Yeah, I'm going for a Drogheda win with this one. I can see it being high-scored, as they always seem to be. So, you know, a 4-2 or a 5-2 wouldn't be out of the question for me.
Yeah, but speaking to Tim Clancy before the break, I think he realises that they're probably just leaking one or two goals more than they should be at the moment. So I think during the break, maybe he might have looked to address maybe some of the issues at the other end of the field. So we mightn't see the threes and the fours now in terms of scoring goals. If they can start grinding out 1-0s and 2-1s, I think they'll be happy with that. I think that might be the case with this first game back from the break, but I definitely see a draw to win.
Yep.
Moving along, it's your friends Galway taking on Athlone Town.
Yeah, well, I've been very disappointed with Athlone after that start to the season that they made.
But you did call that very early in the season.
Yeah, I did. They were completely fighting, you know, they were punching well above their weight at the time, which, you know, and I got a bit of criticism for that, but...
proven totally right.
Yeah, Galway, I knew they'd struggle from the start, Kieran. They've not surprised me. I still think they'll probably beat Athlone here, and they beat them comfortably last time out, didn't they?
They beat them in the EA Sports Cup in Athlone after extra time as well. I think Vinnie Fatterley got a couple of goals that day. Again, you'd be looking to him as their main threat. Athlone during the break, hard to really know if they'll be pleased with where they are, or like you said, will they be disappointed considering such a strong start they had? It's quite difficult.
Kaleem Simon departed the club as well.
I didn't see that actually.
Yeah, I think he went up north as far as I know.
Didn't see that, so there you go, you've beat me to that one. Yeah, that leaves them light. Even though I wouldn't be a big admirer of Kaleem Simon in all honesty, he did get a couple of goals before the break. We're not so sure on the future of Dean Williams there either, so if he was to go, You're looking at where the goals are going to come from for Athlone. So again, I probably would just fancy Galway to nick that one.
I don't know about Dean Williams, whether that's something that I just made up, you know, and it's just got legs, but we'll see on that. But Galway to win this one.
Limerick against Shelburne.
Well, this is a tricky one because Limerick have just lost Conor Ellis, who was their main
that's one
goal
we all knew about.
Threat. So where he'll end up next... Obviously, Waterford are now a striker light with the departure of Akinade.
Has been linked to Waterford by some.
Has he? Yeah. Well, that does make a little bit of sense. But, you know, it's whether or not they've still got enough to give Shells a decent game. Limerick, again, I think they've done very, very well to say the issues that they've had against them this season.
I think losing Ellis is going to suck a lot of confidence out of them. Shelburne, they've got Kilduff and Brennan scoring goals for fun in that team. As we've mentioned, they're not playing overly well, but they know where the net is. They know how to grind out games. I think they go down to Limerick, and I think they'll win this quite comfortably.
Yeah, I just think that you look at the two setups.
Worlds apart.
Limerick, Chaos, Shells. Yeah. You know, it's very organised. They've Stephen Henderson involved now with the youth setup. It just, you know, they're just polar opposites from what I can see. Shells victory.
Yeah, okay, so two Shells victory there. That's our first division predictions. And speaking of Stephen Henderson, we're going to hear from the former Cove Ramblers man now. He joins us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. So, as always, we're delighted to be joined on the line. I was going to say Cove Ramblers boss Stephen Henderson, because we've had him on so regularly down the years, it almost just rolls off the tongue now. But of course, Stephen, you've recently departed and you're now the head of youth development of Shelburne. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, pal. Thanks very much for having me. And John, very best of luck in the future, boy. You are brilliant on the show.
Ah, geez. Thanks, Stephen. Much appreciated.
Yeah, unfortunately.
No problem, my friend. I just think it's strange that he can keep a long-distance relationship with his girlfriend in America, and he only moves down to the dock and he dumps you.
Yeah, and imagine he doesn't even get a severance package like some people in the FAI. So there you go. Harsh treatment as it is. Well, look, Stephen, as I said, we only had you on a couple of weeks ago, and at that moment in time, you were the Cove Ramblers manager. You've since departed the club. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about that?
No, it's just, it's not, there's nothing cynical in it, you know. I think people are bored listening to me at this stage, and that's the truth, Kieran. Mm. It was just, sometimes in football clubs, managers and committees just don't get on. We went into fit, we didn't complement each other. You know, there were certain things that we've been trying to do over the last few years that they felt wasn't the right way to go, which is entirely their right. That's not a criticism of them. That's their right to do that. You know, but there was certain things that happens when changes are happening. And, you know, after 3.5 years, 4 years there, you know, I just felt it was time, let them get someone else in, let them get someone new, and they can all start this new stuff together.
Yeah, you were there a long time. You must have been very disappointed to have to tender your resignation in the first place.
Yeah, I was gutted because, you know, I put my heart and soul into it, to be honest with you, John, as did one or two other people, you know, my wife Leslie as well, like, you know, and then when I done it, it was just 3.5 years, and, you know, boy, what was the point? Where did it get me? What did it do, you know? So, you know, yeah, it was heart-wrenching because we really wanted to make a difference to Cove Ramblers. We really wanted to make the club sustainable. That's not to say that this new committee won't, but it was just, you know, the hours that you put in and the time that you put in, and, you know, and then people just feel that, it's, you know, it's not for them. Then you become a little bit disheartened. So, you know, but the time there was fantastic in terms of the players especially. You know, I've had some great young players come through over the course of the seasons there. Some have went on to play the Premier, some of them are gone to America, you know, and, you know, we have a great group of young lads there now, and you'll see ourselves now on Saturday. I left a really good team there for Stewie, and, you know, Stewie was an integral part of that. So, you know, when you go down and you see them against Longford on Saturday, you'll see that, you know, we've left them fit and healthy on the pitch, and hopefully this committee can go and make them fit and healthy off the pitch, and then, you know, that future should be bright for Ramblers. Please God, and I really wish that happens for them.
Yeah, but you can't keep a good man down too long. You went and had your holidays, and then before we knew it, you were back in another job.
You know, I was really lucky when I just came home from, you know, I got a phone call. Obviously, my brother Dave is an integral part of Shells at the moment. Himself and Dave O'Connor just said, would I meet him? And I did, and we sat down and we had a great conversation. Through all the process of bringing young players through, in terms of Cove Ramblers, there was a lot I noticed that we could probably do a little bit better, you know, when they're a bit younger, in terms of specifics of the position. You know, they're all really well drilled in terms of systems of play and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, like, just in terms of that position and the little bits that you could give extra to them. So it was always something that interested me. So when we sat down, you know, we talk about player development plans. That's what I wanted to do with them. I said, if I go in here, I want to improve the player. I want to develop the player in terms of giving them the specifics. It's all right going understanding the system of play, but it's what you do within that system of play will define whether you're going to make it as a footballer or not. And that's the angle that I want to go at. They bought into it completely. We had a great conversation. We'll talk to Steve Mulhern then, since Steve Mulhern, he seems to be an absolute Trojan of a worker for that football club. So I'm really looking forward to going and meeting all the coaches. You know, and telling them what my ideas are, but more importantly, I have to hear what theirs are, because, you know, a coach and staff is very similar to the team, so, like, we're going to be in this together, we're going to have to work together. I have a certain knowledge of a certain level of the game, they have a certain knowledge of another level of the game, so what we have to do is come up together and come up with a plan where we have, you know, both experiences can help these players come along, and then try and produce players for Shells, and maybe beyond that if we do a really good job. So I'm really looking forward to it. But I'm definitely going to miss the day-to-day of managing, and that competitive nature that, you know, you're playing against the best players in the country and you're managing and coaching against the best managers and coaches in the country. I'll definitely miss that for now anyway. But, you know, hopefully further on down the line, sometime I'll be able to get back into it.
Will you be doing a bit of scouting as well to try and get the best young talents into Shells?
I think it's really important that we have a look at the players that are already there. What's the point in calling it a development plan if you're going out trying to poach all the best players? You know, I think every player has talent. I think it's very much up to the individual who's coaching that player, who's educating that player, who's talking to that player to get the best out of them. That's what I think development is. It's very easy to go and scout and say, yeah, there's a great, throw him in there. You know, but like Shelbourne is a fantastic club. She's really going and really, you know, they have a proper structure in place there. you know, in terms of their underage structure, in terms of education, the link up with DCU, this is all really exciting. And then you see what Ian is doing with the senior team, and then the possible move down to Daly Mount, the new stadium. So there's loads of really positive stuff going on. Part of it is none of my business. This young development teams, these are my business, and I'm going to focus on that, and we're going to give all the players that are currently in the club the best chance that we can give them.
When I think of Stephen Henderson, I always think of a manager. So with all respect, Stephen, do you think maybe this might be a short-term role for yourself as Shells? Will you be looking to get back into a managerial hot seat, or is this something now that at this moment in your time in your career suits you down to the ground?
I think at this moment in time it's the right thing for me, because I definitely want to get back into management further down the line. I'm not that old yet, to be honest with you, Kieran. You may think I am, but I'm not. But I also want to use it as well, Kieran, as part of my own development. There was obviously, through the years we had things with young players this day and age. They go through an awful lot. And you have to learn. I have to learn how to deal with them better. I thought I'd done it well for long periods of time, but I made mistakes along the way. So on top of being in development, I want to get to know them as people, and I want to see how we can make them better people, how we can make them stronger, and how we can get the best out of them. Because all through my manager career, I always wanted to give the young. I believe in young players. I don't think it's brave to give young players a chance. I think it's actually quite stupid not to, if they're good enough. So we want to really have a look at and try and obviously do the best for Shells, do the best for the coaches and the players that are there. But all through that process, I want to learn. And then eventually, some way down the line, if I do get back into senior management, I want to use that experience in a positive way.
And finally, before you go, Stephen, obviously you're always you're very outspoken on issues going on within the league, and obviously there's a lot of talk at the moment, and we've touched on it on the show already tonight, the possibility of an All-Ireland League. Would you be for or against that possibility?
I think if it's viable, I think it'd be a great idea, and that's the truth, Kieran. I think, I played up the north for 4 or 5 seasons with Ards and Distillery in the Premier Division up there. There's a lot of great stadiums up there. There's a lot of really good teams up there with big followings up there. But obviously the finance has to be right. And, I was saying earlier, if Brian Kerr is involved in it, Brian Kerr has a deep-rooted love for the League of Ireland, for Irish football in general. If Brian's involved in it, well, then there's a lot of talk on into this. There's a lot of proper conversations that have been had. And if he feels it's the right thing to do, well, then I think we all will probably believe it's the right thing to do. But in terms of, we've always said something radical needs to happen in Irish football for us to really progress. Unfortunately, part of that radicalisation was what happened with the FAI, and opened an awful lot of eyes to how football has been run in this country. It was the best thing. Mark Toy deserves some kind of award for bringing this to the fore. But now the way the FAI has been restructured, can we get the League of Ireland restructured? If it means that it's Northern Ireland and the Republic joined together, is that going to get people in the gate? Is that going to bring TV revenue in? It's going to give, people like yourselves there, who travel to matches, somewhere else to go and have an experience, different environments, different cultures, different teams. And it makes the league much more competitive. Everyone else has done it. All the other sporting codes are done. Why not us? I think if it works and there's a real plan there, let's go for it. It'll be brilliant.
As always, you speak sense, Hendo. Thanks very much for joining us on the show, and very best wishes for the new role at Shelburne.
And come here, both to yourself, Kieran, seriously, very best of luck in your new job. And John, you were exceptional on that show. Well done, and I hope you're not gone for too long. Thanks a million, gentlemen.
Thanks, Stephen.
Top man, Hendo. Thanks very much.
See you later.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
So the Premier Division also returns this weekend in the League of Ireland, and will start with Cork City against Derry City.
Rumours this could be Graham Cummings' last match at Cork, if he even plays this one.
Yeah, we posted that today on our Twitter and our Facebook account, so you can give them a follow. We're on Twitter at Between Stripes, and we're on facebook.com/Between the Stripes. BetweenTheStripes.ie sources understand this will be Graham Cummings' final game for the Rebels before being announced as a Shamrock Rovers player on Monday.
Right,
and obviously we've seen Gary O'Neill and Neil Ferrugia announced as hoops today also.
yeah, strong signings there from
big
Rovers.
Statement of intent.
Absolutely. Well, they've just slipped a little bit from Dundalk, but obviously there's a chance to put that right this weekend with the match they have.
Yeah, we'll talk about that shortly. But yeah. Cork against Derry at Turner's Cross.
Yeah, tricky one for me because Cork really haven't pulled up any trees. Derry, a lot better than they have been previously. It's a long way to go. I think this might be a draw, Kieran.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that as well. I know people are saying Cork have fallen so far back, and they certainly have. But the fact they're even contemplating offloading somebody like Graham Cummins, now he's not had a great season and a half, but he's still a natural goal scorer.
Yeah.
And Derry would love a player like that. And Cork, they're going to obviously offload him for budget reasons. Obviously, he's probably one of the higher earners at the club. But how Derry would love to have a player like that in their setup. And if they did have a natural goal scorer in that team, you'd certainly be making them the favourites for this one. But they did just struggle for goals before the break. And for that reason, I'd have to agree with you. I think a draw.
Okay, UCD at home to St Pat's, Kieran.
Yeah, well, UCD really need to find some sort of form post-summer break because they were in a bit of free fall. They've gone and lost two of their absolute stars now. I know we have this conversation every week on the show, but who do you make favourite for that bottom position? Is it UCD or Harps? That's a real hammer blow today, those two players leaving the door, isn't it?
Massive blow, yeah. I can't see them finishing anything other than rock bottom.
Now, interestingly, and this is a discussion we've had a good bit on the show, Colly O'Neill always says he will not look outside that scholarship system. But from what I understand, he is going to sign two players from a Premier Division club. They're going to be brought in on a scholarship contract, so whether they're going to be of the quality to replace those two players, I'm not so sure. But it does show that UCD are going to put up a fight until the end of the season. So would you still make Harps favourites to finish above them?
Yeah, I think so. We don't know who they are. You've had nothing.
Well, I've had names, but I don't want to give them out on the show. It wouldn't be fair.
That's a lack of spoilers here at BTS Towers. That's a real shame with that one. You can tell me off air, Kieran, anyway. Yeah, but I still think without those two, it really takes the sparkle out of UCD. Ferrugia, you know, his creativity, same with O'Neill, and I just think it's going to leave too big a hole. Pats will win this.
If they don't, Harry Kenny, he'll be taking a lot of stick from Pats fans, won't he? Because they didn't have a good first half of the season. I've heard him talking on other shows, and he said they want to do a lot better in the second half. This is a game you'd expect them to win.
Yeah, and that, for that reason, I think they will, Kieran.
Right, I don't know why, but I just haven't been convinced by Pats this season. So I'm going to predict a draw on this one. I think UCD will grind something out of it, but you really would make Pats red-hot favourites.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that one, Kieran, with those two out of the team. And, you know, you look at the way they've played recently, some of the defending for some of the goals, you know, where they've previously been pretty strong.
John, we've been at this for 2 years. You know I throw out some mad predictions, and that's why I get hammered in the St. Melsbury prediction game every year. So should be no surprise to you there. Waterford against Bowes.
Well, Waterford, obviously now without Akinade.
Has he been great over since he signed for Waterford, though? He hasn't been a prolific goal scorer. Now, he's a very hard worker, so you could probably say he created a lot of space for the players around him. But in terms of actual goals, he definitely didn't return what many people expected.
No.
He wasn't the same player that we saw at Bowes.
No, I think we get suckered up sometimes with him with his strong hold-up play and the likes. But at the end of the day, strikers have to score goals, and that's not going to happen. They'll miss El Bouzedi out injured as well.
Yeah, that's huge.
You know, he's been a real creative spark, and it'll put even more pressure on the likes of Bastian Herry to deliver for Waterford. Bowes themselves, obviously, had that great derby win. It's whether or not they can keep the goals coming. The midfield's been good for them this season. I'm thinking the likes of Mandrew, who scored plenty of goals.
We've seen Swan putting in a good performance in that derby.
Swan
he gets
excellent.
A few games, bit of confidence.
Yeah, so
I see more goals in the Bowes team than I do Waterford. I'm really worried for Waterford now. As I said, Akinade, he wasn't prolific, but he created.
Drynan, he was scoring the goals for Waterford.
He was creating chances for the likes of Drynan. Obviously, Drynan's gone now. You've mentioned Heary there, but who's he teeing up in that Waterford team? I'm not so sure. El Bouzedi down, the threat from wide is gone with his injury. I think Bowes win this one.
Yeah, I have to agree. And they're going to love us for predicting that. It's a bit of an ongoing thing. But I'd be a bit worried for Waterford for the rest of the season. You know, you know, that's a key injury and losing key players. You just wonder if, you know, like I say, Conor Ellis will be there.
But look, John, at least they have the Tunnocks wafer caramel slice iron brew cup, whatever.
Love it. I love a Tunnocks tea cake, and I quite like a caramel slice as well. You must have had them being up in Scotland so often.
Are you trying to say something?
Yeah, no. Do you like a Tunnocks tea cake?
Have I put on a bit, have I, since we started the show?
No, I was just saying about your frequent trips to Scotland.
Anyway, moving along. Yeah. A bit of a derby here, this one. It's Harps against Sligo. It's a huge game for Finn Harps.
Yeah, huge game, and these are the ones they have to win, aren't they? I don't know if Leverock will still be away, won't he? So they'll be missing him. So I don't know. That might open the door a little bit for Harps, but
They were very open at the back prior to the break.
They've been woeful defensively this season, and you can't help thinking that Romeo Parks is rubbing his hands at the thought of facing that defence.
He's not exactly prolific either, and again, Sligo, they're a team you're looking at, and there's not a huge amount of goals in them. And then you've mentioned there the fact they'll be without their main defender, Dante Leverock, so maybe they won't be as solid at the back as they have been at times this season. So maybe there's a couple of Harps players looking at, in particular, set pieces there as an opportunity to get Sligo. This is another one that's shouting out draw, but Harps defending before the break, it was very, very poor, so you might just give Sligo a slight edge. I'm going to ask for your prediction first, and then I'll make a shout then.
This is an absolutely terrible one to predict, Kieran, because, I mean, it is as near as you get to a derby for them, isn't it, really? And as I say, Sligo have been so up and down.
Well, they've been consistent. They mightn't always be winning games. They're getting an awful lot of draws. But,
they are,
I suppose they've found a way of not to lose too many games. So, again, you give them the slight edge, don't you? I'd probably just go for a Sligo win, but it'll be narrow.
Draw, Kieran.
Okay. And finally, it's the biggest game of the weekend in either division without a
doubt. Match of the season.
Yeah, it could be. This could be the one that really ends any sort of title race. It's Shamrock Rovers against Dundalk at Tallaght Stadium.
It's going to be a cracker, isn't it?
Yeah, and you'll hear from Gary Rogers once we give our preview on this one. But as you said, atmosphere should be absolutely rocking at this one. I've got my ticket, very excited for it. How do you see it going?
I'm stalling for time because it's another one that I'm really struggling to make a prediction for, because Shamrock Rovers, those signings will help. If they bring Cummins,
they won't be eligible for this game.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, you know, Cummins is probably the missing link as far as they're looking. You know, they missed a striker, somebody to put the ball in the net.
So with that in mind, would a draw be okay here? Keep Dundalk within arm's reach. Those players come in, they start scoring more goals. Maybe Dundalk slip up in around the European games. A draw here, it's game over. Or excuse me, a defeat for Rovers, it's game over, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I don't think they'll lose this one. I think it could be a draw, Kieran.
I just think Dundalk are playing too well. Training camp in Spain, they'll be absolutely primed, ready to go. Excitement around the place for these European games, but they'll be solely focused on beating Rovers and ending any chance of a Hoops title. I can't see anything but a Dundalk win, and I actually think it could be more comfortable than people think.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think they're playing absolutely phenomenal football at the moment. Duffy, Hooban, Gannon, I could go on all day about the players that are in top form in that team.
Yep.
But from an attacking sense, those three really stand out. Obviously Gannon's a fullback, but the runs he makes up and down that wing, they can always go with Massey or Jarvis, a fullback again, two players that love to get up that wing and put good deliveries into the box. I can only see a Dundalk win.
You're swaying me that way, but I don't want the league to be
salesman,
over.
Good salesman,
I don't want the league to be over at this stage, so I'll stick with a draw, Kieran.
Okay, so it's our final interview of the Goodbye John Breyer special. We're going to hear now from the Dundalk FC goalkeeper, Gary Rogers. So we're delighted once again to be joined on Between the Stripes LOI podcast by the Dundalk FC goalkeeper, Gary Rogers. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much for having me here.
So Gary, a big couple of weeks ahead for Dundalk. Obviously you're back off the summer break, although I don't think you had much of a break with the training camp away in Spain. We might ask you about that in a minute. But obviously from a personal point of view, you could be set to break a European record in the coming weeks. You could become the most capped League of Ireland player in terms of European appearances, so a big couple of weeks for yourself coming up.
Yeah, I think a big couple of weeks for everyone at the club. I think European football has been really good to Dundalk, I suppose, over the last few years, and we'd be eager to kind of get back competing at that level again. And I think everyone in the league aspires to play in Europe, and look, it's that time of year, and we're all really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and obviously I've been getting pictures today all day from Dundalk that the queues are out the road for tickets for this game against Riga, so a great buzz as always, and I'm sure this is the sort of game the players always look forward to playing in.
Yeah, I think so. Look, European football is great, and you know, for especially the supporters, and obviously, you know, they enjoy the home and the away trips, and certainly enjoy the away trips better than we do anyway. Look, it's a great occasion for everyone, and great for the town as well to have the game. You know, in Dundalk, obviously, you know, we missed out with the Europa League games that were in Tallaght and stuff like that. So it's great, you know, that they'll be able to enjoy the home game there in the first round of the Champions League. So it's certainly something that, you know, everyone looks forward to. I think the whole league in general, when European football comes around, I think, you know, you find that the league kind of tends to unite, and all the clubs tend to be cheering on the league more than clubs and hoping that they do well. And you know, there's certainly very much a great deal of pride around the League of Ireland when teams do well in Europe.
Yeah, and certainly from a podcaster's point of view anyway, this is the European draws. It's always the time of the year we all look forward to and analysing the draws. From a player's point of view though, how much work goes into analysing the opposition that you're going to be coming up against? You probably don't know a huge amount about them.
Yeah, well, look, I think, you know, everything has probably gone a bit smaller these days with the way, you know, the analysts have done that for games and the opposition, and, you know, we've access to, like, Insta and White Scout and stuff like that, so you're able to get information on players, whereas beforehand, but down the years, you really didn't know much about them until they turned up the day of the game, and you never knew what you were in for. So, look, we'll be prepared as possible. We'll have all the information we need on the players individually and collectively in terms of, you know, what we can try and expect from them, and, you know, prepare as well as we can. And Steve O'Donnell has already been over to watch him. I know a few other members of staff are also going to take in a game or two before we play them. So, look, we'll be, I suppose, up to speed as much as we can be. But say, look, it all comes down to what happens on the pitch of the 90 minutes or the 180 minutes over the two legs. So, look, it's certainly something that we'll be really looking forward to, and hopefully we'll be able to get the right result and get on into the next round.
Yeah, and as I've mentioned already, you've just had a return from a summer training camp in Spain. How did that go down for the players?
Yeah, really good. You know, it's a good opportunity to, I suppose, to prepare for the second half of the season, and obviously for Europe, but obviously we in Shamrock Rovers in mind, we've got a Friday night game coming up. So it's just really good to get some work done, extra bit of work done, to put you in good shape for the second half of the league, and something that we've put over the last number of years, and it has helped us, I suppose, kick on in the second half of the season.
Yeah, and in terms of a warm-up for a big European game, there can probably be no tougher test at the moment in the league than Shamrock Rovers. You travel to Tallaght on Friday before a home game against Waterford on Monday, and then it won't be too far away before those European games take place. Is it strange to have so many big games come up after being off for a week, or do you think players would maybe prefer to be eased back into things, or is it better to get in at the deep end again?
Well, look, I suppose it's a bit like the start of the season again, whereas, you know, the season, there's no game for 14 weeks from one end of the season to the other. Next thing, all of a sudden, the season starts with three games in 7 or 8 days. So I think it's unfortunately something that players are well accustomed to in this league. It's a heavy schedule, and, you know, with the Toulon tournament being the game called off before the break. So we've had a longer break than usual, but we look forward to getting back into the games, and whether it's three games or four games or whatever it is, we've been prepared to do whatever it takes. And, you know, I think, you know, players in general, they want to play football, and you know, the more games, the better.
And as you speak to us, Gary, you're on your way back from a meeting with the PFEI. Is scheduling one of the big topics coming up a lot this year when you're talking to players around the league?
Yeah, well, I think it was something that was on our agenda from last year. We had flagged it in the AGM that we went through the minister. It was something that we had spoken about last year, and obviously there has been no change in it this year, but hopefully, you know, whenever changes come about in the next couple of months and for the season coming next year, hopefully there will be changes and there will be greater, I suppose, attention paid to fixture schedule. I think, you know, the clubs and the players will all welcome that, and the managers, of course.
Yeah, and obviously there's a lot of headlines at the moment about the potential for perhaps an All-Ireland League, and there's other proposals as well for the future of the league. Is that something the PFEI will be looking at?
Yeah, well, it's something, look, I think it's all kind of talk at the minute, really, and you kind of have to wait and see what comes out, because it will come down to the FBI AGM and what's passed, you know, at their AGM. So I think, you know, to be speculating on what plans are going to be put in place before all that happens, it's going to sky really at the minute. You kind of just need to wait and see what comes out of the FBI AGM to see what we're going to do forward with, and it will be down to them in order to make the changes that are needed, you know.
And just on Dundalk this season, Gary, obviously Vinnie Perth in at the hot seat there now. Perhaps a slow start, but you've pulled it back now, top of the league going into this game against Rovers, and if your back four wasn't already strong enough, Andy Boyle is back now, so I'm sure you've all been delighted to welcome Andy back to the club.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, it's great to get a player of Andy Boyle back to the club. I think, you know, he was excellent for us in our European Cup in 2016, and also got to be capped for the international team as well. So look, if we bring a player of that quality in, it's a real statement of intent. And we've been doing a terrific job with the management team, with John Gill and Rory Higgins. And, you know, I think, you know, often get to overlook the job that he's done since he's taken over. And, you know, it's very positive for us so far, like, and the position we're in. So we'll be just hoping to continue the run that we've been on. And, hopefully we'll have a good season.
And finally, before you go, Gary, as I mentioned, you're on course to break a European record. You're sitting atop of the league. Still feeling fit and healthy?
Yeah, feeling great. We've been doing it. Obviously, looking after myself, and, you know, doing a lot of work with the strength and conditioning coach, with Graham Norton, and do strength and conditioning coach.
So, John, that brings us to the end of the end of the end.
Yeah, enjoyed my special, mate. So, thanks for all the support over the last couple of years, Kieran. So, and just like to wish you all the best for the future. And I'm sure whoever's hosting it alongside you will do equally a good job.
Well, big boots to fill. It's a bit like David Moyes taking over from Ferguson. I hope my next co-host won't be doomed to that sort of fate.
You just have to choose wisely, don't you?
The chosen one. But no, John, it's been an absolute pleasure. We kind of went into it last week on the show about how this podcast, how it all started and came about. But I think everyone that's tuned in, whether it be regularly or just on and off over the last 2 years, they'd probably agree the growth, both in terms of the quality of the product we've put together and just in terms of the numbers, have been absolutely fantastic. Even again last week, another 1,000 plus show. I mean, considering what we're competing against, considering we record with a laptop, a microphone, and either in the beauty salon of the local pharmacy or in the garage here in the house, what we put together has been quite incredible over the last 2 years. So I want to thank you for your service and your friendship. It's been fantastic. And look, it won't be the last we'll hear of you. We'll have you on the phone. You can still keep slaughtering me in the St. Mills every week here from Longford and drown your sorrows with that.
Yeah, well, we'll enjoy Saturday anyway, won't we?
Yeah, it should be good. Folks, that's been the Between the Stripes LOI podcast for tonight, the Goodbye John Breyer special. I'd absolutely love if you could leave maybe some comments, either be our Facebook or our Twitter. I've already given out the links to those on the show. Or even better, again, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us your thoughts on John's performance over the last 2 years. He's been an absolutely fabulous co-host, and I think we deserve 5 stars as a result of that. So that's been the show. Give it a share far and wide, and just the best way to keep up to date now with what's going to happen over the next few weeks in terms of the podcast is to subscribe on your favourite podcast platform, let that be Apple's or Spotify, because obviously with the new job starting up, I might not always be able to get it up on a Wednesday night, the podcast, so it could be random nights during the week. So the best thing to do is subscribe, and that show will then always drop straight to your device. So John, thanks very much, and we'll speak to you again quite soon, folks.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.